morning, church. Yeah, and let me hear you say, Happy Thanksgiving, y'all. Are you ready? Yeah, sorry, y'all, it just came out that way. But who's ready for Thanksgiving? Are you all prepared? You have ordered your turkeys, your ready, or whatever you eat. I know different people eat different things on Thanksgiving, but I do hope that you're ready for that. For those of you that are visiting with us, a big welcome to you. We are a church that likes to give thanks to God, amen, and thanks for all the blessings that we have here. And so I wanted to actually begin with a confession and also a commitment. So am I able to share that with you this morning? Are you okay with this? You're like, well, tell us what it is first, and then we'll let you know if we're good with it. But my confession is that I believe in the past, I've approached winter the wrong way. Oh, and by the way, because Thanksgiving is coming up, that also means that on the tail end of that, winter is on its way. So there you go. But I believe that in the past, I have approached winter the wrong way, where I've dreaded it. And so this year, I'm going to embrace all the wonderful things about winter all the way through the year. Okay? All right. And so you can hold me to that. That's a confession and some vulnerability there. But specifically, I'm going to delight in the following gifts of winter. Drinking hot drinks like tea and hot chocolate. If you're a coffee person, I'm sorry. Well, I'm not sorry. That's not my bag. But if you want to do that, that's great. I'm also going to embrace sitting by the warm fire and lighting candles. I do like candles. I like coziness. And so I'm going to sit by the fire and enjoy that. I'm also going to embrace snuggling up with my family in warm, comfy clothes, something else I enjoy. I'm also going to enjoy watching Disney Plus and all the plentiful Disney movies and Disney shows on Disney Plus. What a gift that is. And I will say, if you switch to Verizon Fios, which I don't work for them, you get it for free for a year. So that's a great advantage. Just, yeah, you're welcome for that bit of information. I'm also going to embrace snowboarding. Hey, if you like skiing, that's cool too. I don't hate there, but I like to snowboard. Ice skating with my girls, no shame in my game. I will be out ice skating with the girls. Winter trail running as well. I do have something called Yak Tracks, which you put onto your sneakers so that you can run through the winter. I have a lot of weird looks on your faces, so I'm going to go to the next one. Sledding, I will embrace sledding as well. Snow sculptures, aka building snowmen and snow women. Let's not discriminate there, snowmen and snow women. And I see all of these things, plus many more, as the great gifts of winter. And this is the time of year that we start thinking about giving thanks for what we have been given, for what we have received. And we also think about gifts that we're going to give, right? I mean, we're thinking about gifts that we're giving and also things that we are going to receive. A gift is defined as a thing given willingly without payment. And I think that as you consider that definition, I think that's a great definition for our God, for our Heavenly Father, a great gift giver, giving willingly without payment, without expectation for that payment. James 1 verse 17 reads this: every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the heaven, from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. That is our God. And I'll say, as I was preparing the message this week, which, spoiler alert, it's about gifts and knowing our gifts, I was really blown away by the nature of God. And perhaps you knew this about God, but I just want to share different aspects of his giving. And so I was blown away by this. There's a part of God, a big part of God, that is, he's a personal God. And I think that we know that to some level, but I think in some ways we have kind of a passive attitude towards that. We forget how amazing that is. In the ancient world, to have a personal God was a bizarre idea, a unique concept. But we have a personal God. He's a personal God that came in the flesh as a gift in the life of Jesus Christ, John 1 verse 14, to be with us, to reveal himself to us, and ultimately die. Wow, I don't know what that was there. I think maybe I need a drink of water or something. Maybe there's a gift out there that someone give me some water. But Yeah, throw myself off. I didn't mean to alert anybody to that. I'm okay up here. But he is a great gift giver in that way. But also, think about this gift as well. As Jesus died, resurrected, and ascended to heaven, he gave what's known as the greatest gift in Matthew 7:11, Luke 11, verse 13, in the Holy Spirit, that indwelling of the Spirit. I mean, God gives a piece of himself to live and dwell within us. And I think we know that to some level, but just meditate on that for a little bit. Let's really think about that for a second, but it doesn't stop there. You see, when we get the gift of the Holy Spirit, the greatest gift of the Holy Spirit, Christ also gives us unique gifts as well. Special gifts, special talents and abilities to make God known in the world. And this is talked about in Ephesians 4, 7 through 14, and Romans 12, verses 3 through 7, which we'll look at today in just a little bit. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that gift. Let me just take a time out here for a second. So refreshing. Okay. But today, as I mentioned, we're going to begin a sermon series on gifts that will take us through the end of the year. And I first want us to focus on knowing your gift. And that's the title of my sermon today, Knowing Your Gift. Do you know what your gifts are that have been given by Christ? We're going to explore our unique gifts and identify ways we can give thanks to God by using our gifts for his glory. And so we're going to look at Exodus 35, so you can turn with me in your Bibles over to Exodus 35. We'll look at verses 30 through 35 and a few New Testament passages, again, as I mentioned, in Romans 12 and Ephesians 4. But to give you a little preview as to what's going to be happening through December, is we're going to continue this theme of growth and community, but we're going to look at gifts, thinking about Jesus as a great gift to us. And so as we explore, we're going to be starting December in the book of Luke, or the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to explore just this idea of Jesus being a great gift through the rest of the year. But today we're going to pick up the story of God and his people in Exodus 35. And this is where God's covenant community, so his people, his community were had been given new stone tablets with the Ten Commandments on them through Moses, which were, hey, this is how you are to live as my covenant people. And then at the beginning of Exodus 35, the Sabbath is talked about, was explained, and then instructions for building the tabernacle were given, which was to be God's dwelling place here on earth while the Israelites traveled through the wilderness. And it's at the end of that description of the tabernacle that we're going to pick up the story today. So, Exodus 35, I'm going to begin in verse 30, okay? But only if you're with me. Let me hear you say, you're with me. But wait, you got to say, I'm with you, right? Okay, just making sure you're awake out there. You're with me. Okay, great. Exodus 35, verses 30 through 35. Then Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. He has filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And he has given both him and Aholiab, son of Ahisamach," which I just kind of like saying that fast, Ahisamach, it's just FYI, "of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen, and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers." So this is a really interesting and powerful section of Scripture in the Old Testament. Where again, God is talking about, he's given the Ten Commandments, he's talked about the tabernacle, and that the tabernacle was to be the place where the Israelites met with God. I mean, this was to be where the presence of God would dwell on earth. And the text identifies Bezalel and Aholiab, which are just pretty cool names. If you're looking for boy names, Bezalel and Aholiab, I mean, I think those are pretty great. And the girl variations, Bezalela or Aholiabeja, if you want to, you know, put that out there as well. But specifically as having roles in creating parts of the tabernacle and to teach others. But I think sometimes we underestimate the sacredness of the tabernacle and what that was to be. It was the movable tent temple which Moses erected for the service of God according to the pattern which God himself showed to him on the mount, Exodus 25, verse 9. It is called the tabernacle of the congregation, rather of meeting, where God promised to meet with Israel. AKA, the tabernacle was kind of a big deal. It was central to the Israelites' experience of worship because it was where the presence of God would dwell on earth and where they would go to meet with him. Thus, it was central to humanity's intimacy with God. And Bezalel and Aholiab had these special gifts to help create the dwelling place for God on earth in the experience of intimacy with him for the Israelites. They are given these special gifts, and Moses points that out. He said, hey, these guys have been given these special gifts, these unique gifts, to help build the tabernacle and create it in such a way that would help promote the worship and intimacy of God and his people. And the text clearly identifies where the gifts came from, the Lord. And I love the connection between the Spirit of God. He said that Bezalel was given the Spirit of God, and then all these gifts along with that. Well, the other thing that I wanted to mention is that it's all in the context of how these skills were to be used within and for God's community. Well, that's what these gifts were for. You know, as I mentioned earlier, winter is on its way. Joy, right? Joy and excitement about that, hopefully. I told you my perspective on that. But a couple things that come with winter. It means prepping our vehicles for our extra-large four-wheel sledding adventures on the road experiences. Have you had such an experience before? Hopefully it was a safe one where you were out on the road and maybe slid around a little bit. But I was reminded recently of an experience that Katie and I had last winter as we were traveling back to Baltimore. So we had taken a trip down to D.C. We had left the girls with her parents who live outside of Baltimore. And we had taken that trip to D.C. We took the train back. We picked up our car. And we were driving back to Katie's parents' house. And on our way back, well, prior to, we had heard about this big snowstorm that was coming. And so we tried to get to the van as quickly as we could so we could, get back to our girls, but on the way back, which, and I'll just say this, our red minivan happens to do pretty well in the snow, and I'll just, there it is, the red minivan does pretty well in the snow, but we're trying to get back to Katie's parents' house, and we're sliding around a little bit, but we notice that there are cars all over the roads, you know, sliding off the road. And as we're going, every road that we got to get to her parents' house was blocked off. And so we go to a certain point, and it was blocked off. And then we'd, you know, try another route, and we'd try that route, and then that road was blocked off. And we kept going, and we finally get to a road that seems like it's smooth sailing. So we're cruising along, and We're making headway. We feel like we're going to get there pretty quickly. And all of a sudden, we come to this big white Ford pickup truck that looked something like this. Now, look at that thing. I mean, that thing was built for the snow, right? I mean, it just looks like a snow vehicle that it would be able to, you know, plow through snow and be able to get to places very quickly, but we get behind this pickup truck, and it was going about 5 miles per hour. And here we are in our van, again, which is does pretty well in the snow, but then we get behind this Ford pickup truck, which really seemed like it was a stallion prancing down the racetrack. You know what I mean? Like, you're in a race here. I mean, use what you got. And so Katie and I are looking at each other, and we're like, We're just thinking the same thing. Come on, man. You got this truck. Use it. I mean, this is what it's made for. This is what it's built for. Use what you got. And we're kind of laughing, right? And it's meant to be funny. But I think for us, sometimes there are so many gifts and talents and skills and abilities within us, but we don't use them for God. We don't recognize what they are, and therefore we aren't as useful sometimes as we can be for God. We're not as engaged with God as we could be because we don't realize and keep before our minds all that we have been blessed with. You know, and for one, let us remember that we have the ultimate power source that helps us carry out God's will in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, 19 through 21, to get us through all kinds of storms in life, all kinds of snowstorms, to help encourage one another, to help grow us. The Spirit helps us connect with God. He does so much for us. It is a great gift for us. But for two, we all have special and unique combinations of gifts. But sometimes we don't recognize our gifts for various reasons. And I'll just share personally. You know, sometimes I can be aware of my gifts. Sometimes I can neglect my gifts. Sometimes I can forget that those gifts exist within me, and then I neglect to use them for God. One gift, so we're going to read through Romans 12 in just a second, because it talks about, the scriptures talk about very specific gifts that people have been blessed with, and the scriptures say, look, if you've been blessed with this gift, then use it. And so as I was going through that, one gift that I believe that I've neglected, that I have at least to some degree, is the gift of mercy, Romans 12, verse 7. And as I was reflecting on that, I was thinking that, you know, I've not thought much about that gift, partly because it doesn't seem very glamorous, right? The gift of mercy, what kind of a glamour or excitement is there in that? At least that can be my mindset. And another thing I think about that particular gift, along with others, is that it doesn't seem very masculine as well. And I'm just being honest here. And I think that there are some gifts that we can look at and say, wow, that's an exciting gift. That's a gift that I want. And then we look at some of these other gifts and think that, well, they're not really of use, and maybe that's my gift, but I want these other gifts over here. And so it can be a bit of a perplexing experience. But I believe that what the illustration that I just gave is a good illustration of how we sometimes can miss our gifts. And the reality is that there is a great gift giver, right? And that is God himself. That is his son, Jesus Christ. And what we get in the New Testament is an even clearer picture of the giving nature of God through Jesus Christ and how this is bound up in his graciousness. So Ephesians 4, I'm going to read verses 7 through 14. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so there's various gifts here that are talked about, but I think one thing that we can miss is how Paul quotes this psalm, this psalm here. Actually, this is from Psalm 68, verse 18, but he makes a twist in there. Maybe you missed that, or maybe you are aware of that, but this is what one Bible commentator said about this, and I think this is central to our understanding of God and our own gifts. To make his point about Christ, the giver of gifts, Paul quotes with a significant difference from Psalm 68, verse 18. This psalm describes a king's conquering return, and I encourage you to go back and check it out sometime. It describes this king's conquering return. He ascends on high. That is to say, he climbs the steep road of Mount Zion into the streets of the holy city. He brings in his captive band of prisoners. That is to say, he marches through the streets with his prisoner in chains behind him to demonstrate his conquering power. Now comes the difference, and check this out. The psalm, so if you go back and read Psalm 68, verse 18, the psalm speaks next about the conqueror receiving gifts. And that's how it's stated. But Paul changes it to read that he gave gifts to men. All mankind. Now that's an interesting difference there that I think we need to understand about Christ. He's not a Messiah, a Savior, this conquering king that comes in and says, you know, look at my mighty power and give gifts to me. He comes in, he saves the world and says, I'm going to give you gifts. I'm going to give you gifts to build up my church and my kingdom. In the Old Testament, the conquering king demanded and received gifts from people. In the New Testament, the conqueror Christ offers and gives gifts to people. Romans 12, verses 3 through 7. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body, with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Whatever gift a person has, they must use it, and the motive of use must be not their personal prestige, but the conviction that it is at one and the same time their duty and their privilege to make their own contribution to the common good. William Barclay, commentary on Romans 12. Everyone here has gifts. And I believe that all of us have different combinations of gifts. We have different cultures and different experiences, different backgrounds, different talents and abilities that when we all bring these to the table, we can be the light to the world. We can truly be the church that God has called us to be. And it is such a joy to see people using their gifts. Amen. I mean, isn't that such an encouragement to look at someone and say, wow, that is your gift and you are using it, to God be the glory. I think about many members of our church here, and I won't say everyone's name, so I apologize if I miss you, but there were some people that just came to mind and various gifts that came to mind as I was going through this, and so I just want to highlight some of these. I think of Shirley and her artistic and creative gifts. I mean, many of those, and just using those for the church here. I appreciate that so much. I think of Ellie and leading songs and doing worship. I mean, it is such a joy to watch them use that. And then it encourages me to use the very small gift of singing that I've been blessed with, about this big. But I enjoy that so much, just seeing you do that. I think of Efren and Cindy and their gifts of serving and giving and encouragement. I appreciate that so much. I think of Mike and Annette Santori in that same way, giving and encouraging. And it's been so powerful to see, and I just want to mention this because I don't think a lot of people know this, but it's been so encouraging to see Mike encouraging, serving, and loving our campus students. I mean, it's really phenomenal. He's in so many Bible studies with it seems like a new campus student every day. I mean, it's really impressive, and his heart just to be in there with them and love them is so powerful. I think of Nelson and Yvette, and their, I mean, lots of gifts there, but their gifts to lead and to serve. I mean, they've done a fantastic job leading our service teams. But organization and serving as well. I think of Zaid and his tremendous gift to teach and encourage and inspire. And I think that was very evident last weekend as he participated in the Cultural Humility Weekend. It's just really, really impressive to see that. I think of some of our younger people here. I think of Gigi, who's not in the crowd today, but Gigi's gift is fun. Gigi is just fun. I mean, that's just who she is, but also the gift of encouragement. I think of Justin and Madison Nolazare, and they probably don't realize this, but their gift of just smiling and being an encouraging presence. I mean, I find a lot of joy just interacting with them, and so I appreciate that so much about both of you. Chris and Sherelle Reinhardt, to love and to serve. They've done a fantastic job with our campus ministry up at West Point, and it's just a joy to see them serve and give in that way. I think of Chris and Alejandra and their ability to organize, but also their hearts to serve the poor. I know they're wanting to do more there, and so I'm excited to see God bless that and build that. I think of the Del Fierros, George and Tiffany and their ability to lead and to serve, and Tiffany and her artistic abilities. I mean, we've seen those on display here in the church quite often. Chris Collati and his artistic abilities. I think about the Muscats, Scott's ability to lead, and Kelly Muscat's ability to organize and be creative. I appreciate that so much. I appreciate Ryan and Steve's ability to teach and to lead. That's a great gift that both of those possess, both of those guys possess. I think of Mark Sanders and Mark Colavaro and their ability to counsel people, to encourage people, to show mercy. I appreciate that as well. I think of Javier and just how insightful Javier is, but also I appreciate his translating in the back. If we could just give a shout out, if everybody could turn around and just wave to Javier back there translating. I think of Phil and Iris and their ability to lead and encourage and serve people. That's so inspiring. And many more. I mean, there's lots of other gifts as well, but those were some came to my mind. Again, those are just some, but we all have gifts, and you all matter here in the Hudson Valley Church. And what I want to see is all of us using our gifts here for God's glory. The church can only be the best that it can be when we all come together and use our gifts for the glory of God. So we've got to do the work to discover and utilize our gifts so that together, again, we can glorify and make him known here on earth. So I'm going to be very practical here now as we think about using our gifts. And I've actually done some of the work for you already, which I'll talk about in just a second. But I think as we consider this whole concept of gifts, I think the most important thing that we can do first is thank and appreciate the great gift giver, that being God himself. Appreciate him for his abounding grace, that in all his power and all his glory and all his might, he was willing to reach down to us sinners and give gifts. And one of the ways that we show appreciation for that is to do the work, to discover those gifts and use them for his glory. And so knowing your gifts, I believe, means two things. Number one, identify your gifts. What are your gifts? Do that exploring. Do that discovery. What are your gifts? And then number two, use your gift as a way of giving thanks to God. And so to get very practical and very specific here, I know that even as you're thinking about this, you might even think, I still don't know. You know, what are my gifts? And so I'm going to send a gift to you later today at 3 p.m., actually. I'm going to send out via the remind text. And so I will say, if you're visiting with us and you don't get those and you'd like to do some of this exploring as well, you can ask me or ask a member and we'll pass along this worksheet to you. But I'm going to send out a spiritual gift identification worksheet. There's lots of scriptures in there. There's some information in there as well. But I'm going to send that out to you. And I'd love for you to complete those within the next couple of weeks. And so you read through it, you look at the different gifts, and there's actually lots of gifts that are identified in different places in Scripture. And so read through those, and then I want you to first, with sober judgment, think about yourself. And again, sober judgment meaning not thinking too high of yourself, but not thinking too low of yourself either. An honest assessment. I used the word assessment. I meant identification. So let's... Too many assessments, I know, but it's an identification worksheet, so it's different. But you're going to look through the gifts and then identify the ones that you believe that you possess. And then what I'd like you to do is ask two close friends. So two friends that you believe know you very well. And these could be people that are in your small groups, in your life groups, or it could be people outside of that. People that know you well and that can give you an honest assessment of your gifts. And so you're going to ask those people to fill those out as well. And so then you'll come up with a cumulative score, and you'll identify those. And then I want us to process these in our next life group meeting, which will be the week of December 9th. So you have some time. So you're thinking about these, you're helping, other people are helping you to identify these, and then you're going to come together, you're going to talk about these in your life group. And then you're going to also talk about what are the ways in which I can use these in the church, in the Hudson Valley Church. But there's another piece to this that I think is important from a leadership standpoint. Because I think as we look around, sometimes we can only see, well, it looks like there are only certain gifts that are really, really utilized in the church. Amen? I mean, I think that's, it can be an honest assessment. But what I would like to do, and I've talked about this with our core leadership group, is offer more opportunities and more diverse opportunities for people to use their diverse gifts and bring many gifts to the table, almost literally. So in January, we're going to have a Gifts Sunday, where we're going to set up tables around the church, and this will be after a Sunday sermon, that are places that you can go to figure out and identify ways that you can use those gifts that you've identified beyond just, I'm not minimizing this by any means, but beyond just what you see on Sunday, preaching, teaching, or doing communion, and then worship. Lots of other ways to utilize those gifts. So we're going to set up those tables. People will be running those tables. You can go up and figure out and ask about different ways that you can use those gifts. Again, that'll be happening later in January. Amen? Amen. So as I conclude, I want to remind us that our collective goal here on earth is to carry out the will of God, to make him known. He has given each of us gifts that only when used together we can be effective at accomplishing our task. Just imagine for a minute. Just imagine what God could do through all of us if we all came together and identified and owned our gifts and then used them regularly for the glory of Christ and his church. Let each of us recognize, discover, appreciate, and utilize our gifts together to change the world. And to our gracious, loving, and giving Father be the glory. Amen. And thank you.